The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? All right. Well, my name is Drew Wackerly, for those of you that don't know me. I'm one of four interns here at Living Axe. And, oh my goodness. God is so good. I walked into this church a year and a half ago and just kind of walked in. And now I'm an intern, and let's just pray really quick. I'm going to have you pray for me and that the Holy Spirit would be here and that your ears would hear what you need to hear and that the Holy Spirit would be here. So let's just, you guys take a minute and pray, and I'll pray. Father, thank you so much for being our King and our Master. You're so good to us. We praise you, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be heavy in this place. Lord, I need you. We need you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak, Lord, and that the ears here would hear what you want them to hear, and that people would leave convicted and changed by your love and your power. We love you so much, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're in a series called Christ is All in All. And last week's sermon was Christ Our Savior. Kevin Weaver delivered it and did an incredible job. The Holy Spirit really worked. And so this week's is Christ Our Master. Main thing is, waiting on Christ is what I want to talk about. I wrote a thesis for this sermon. It's waiting on Christ as our master is beneficial in bringing us joy and pleasing to God and giving him glory. The scripture for this message is Mark 13, 35 through 37. You guys can turn there if you'd like. We're going to come back to it in a little bit. It says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. We're going to talk about that in a minute. One of the main things that I want to talk about in this message is waiting on the Lord as our master and what that really looks like and how that is beneficial to us in bringing us joy, but also pleasing to God and giving him glory. But first, I want to talk about how Christ is, in fact, our master. And so I did the typical sermon thing to do, and I looked up the word master in the dictionary. And here's what Webster's dictionary says, master. A person with the ability or power to use, control, or dispose of something. When I read this, I just started laughing in the coffee shop that I was sitting in. And I was like, holy cow, like, this totally describes God. He can do whatever he wants with us. He could kill us and he'd be glorified. He can use us and, oh my goodness, would he use us? And he would be glorified in that and we would get joy. And so, holy cow, this really describes Jesus and describes God. And so, if you guys would, we're going to touch on a lot of scripture. Some of them we're just going to touch on. Other ones I'll tell you to turn to. You guys can turn to Colossians 1, 15 through 18, kind of a long scripture. And so, I'll give you a second to do that, if you'd like. Colossians 1:15-18 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." You've heard this verse before, I'm sure. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Does this not sound like a master to you? A huge master. Jesus is supreme. Someone who is supreme over all things. I mean, this totally describes the title of the series, Christ is all in all. Am I wrong or am I right? He is glorified in all the universe. It is all about him. Everything revolves around him. He is the power. He has the power. He has the authority to do with everything, whatever he wants. This is a great, great master that we have. Let's look some more. Romans 9. Romans 9:20 says, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" No, you don't. He's master. He created you. If you create something, you're master over that something. You can do whatever you want with it. Looking back at the definition of the word master, if you want to dispose of something that you create, you can dispose of it. If you want to use it in a certain way to bring yourself joy, then you do that. You make a paper airplane, you want to throw it that way because it's fun, you do that. You want to throw it away because you're not having fun with it anymore, then you throw it away. It's your paper airplane. You made it, okay? And so let's look more. Romans 11:33-36. I love this scripture. Thing called the doxology. Says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." He is all in all. Christ is all in all. No one knows him. He is the greatest master anyone's ever known. He created the universe. The universe is glorified in him. It shows all of his glory. It's all about him. And he receives great, great joy from the glory that he finds in himself. And he so graciously lets us experience the joy that he finds in himself and the fact that he brought Jesus to earth. And we're able to receive righteousness in his son to be with him in glory one day. And he can do whatever he wants with you. And he will do whatever he wants with you. Guys, this message is, I don't know if you're getting this, but this message is not, this is not like a message about Calvinism or Arminianism, okay? I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're a full force, biggest Arminianist I've ever met. I don't care if you're a 5-point Calvinist. It doesn't matter to me. Because the bottom line is that Christ is your master. Whether you like it or not, he is king. He created this universe and he will do with it what he pleases. He's your master. He's supreme. Whether you accept him or not, he's master over your life. And a day is coming and will come. It's coming and it will come. And you will bow when he comes in glory. He's not coming as a suffering servant. He's coming as a conquering king. And you will bow your knee. And he will receive the honor and the reverence and the glory that is due to him. Because he is the king of glory. You will bow. You will see his glory and you will not be able to stand before him. You will bow. So now what? Christ is our master. We see that. you're probably like, okay, Drew, I get it. He's supreme. He's going to do whatever he wants with me, and I understand. It's kind of a hard thing to swallow sometimes, but it's comforting to know that we have a master that is in control of us. Because I know for me, if I were control of my life, I would be dead or in jail or just a huge loser. So what do we do now? What's there to do? Well, there's waiting on the Lord, because he is coming back, like I told you, and we will bow. So what do we do until this time? We wait on the Lord. And so there's two kinds of people that wait in two different ways. There's a passive, selfish dog that waits. And there's a faithful, active son that also waits. And so what I want to say before I start this is that waiting on the Lord is not passive. It is very, very active. And so let's go back to the scripture, Mark 13, 35 through 37. It says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This whole scripture is all about being mindful and aware of when the Lord comes back. Because he's coming back, like I said earlier. He is coming back and you will bow before him. So what are you going to do until he gets here? Okay? The verse before, verse 35 starts with therefore. And so I heard some great words by someone that I respect a lot. He said, whenever you see the word therefore, you have to go back to see what the therefore is there for. And so we're going to go back to verse 34. It says, he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Well, why? Well, because the master's leaving. It says, therefore, do these things because you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And so, guys, this verse even before totally describes that we must be active in our waiting. This demands activity. When you look at this verse, it says he leaves the house and he puts his servants in charge. If you're in charge of something, you're working to do whatever it is that you're in charge of something, okay? If you're in charge of something, you're working, you're being active, you're doing those things. And when you get assigned a task, then you're going to go do those things. You're not just going to sit on the couch and complete a task. That's not going to happen. It involves activity. You have to act. You have to go. So, passive waiting. Let's look at what passive waiting really is. I get a passive, selfish dog. I lived with my sister and brother-in-law for a year, and they had this dog. His name was Benton. And every time my brother-in-law, Matt, would leave the house, Benton would run to this window, and he would sit at that stupid window all day long, and he would whine and complain and just wait for his master to come home. He would just sit there and just cry. And maybe sometimes he would even pee or poop on the carpet. Then his master would just get angry. And so he would just sit there, and he would just sit there and just cry. And then Matt would come home, and he would bolt out of the room and jump and, you know, bark and be so happy to see Matt. And if Matt was sitting at the counter, you better believe Benton was right there next to him, just waiting for him to drop some food his way. And if he went to go lay on the couch or lay in his bed, Benton was right there, snuggled up next to his master, because he loved Matt. He loved him, and he wanted him to be near him. And so I think that sometimes, as Christians, we can do this. I think that sometimes we can selfishly just sit in our room and we can pray and we can pray and we can pray for Jesus to come back. And hear me in saying this, praying for the Lord's return is something that you need to do. It is a good thing. It is a very, very good thing. You need to do that. It's so important. But if that's the only thing that we're doing is just praying for the Lord's return, that's not active. There needs to be more. And so what I want you guys to do is turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. This is my favorite book of the Bible. And I think that Song of Solomon, chapter 2, kind of really shows what it looks like to kind of just be passive and just kind of selfishly indulge in the Lord's goodness and his grace and not really doing all that we're called to do, because there's more than just indulging and soaking in the death and resurrection of our Savior. There's more than that. So we're going to start Solomon chapter 2. A little background on Solomon, if you're not familiar too much with it. If you look in your Bible, there's going to be, you might see the word lover and beloved a lot. And the lover is actually Solomon, which represents Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, okay? And the beloved is the Shulamite woman who represents us, children of God, okay? And so, Solomon 2, verse 3 through 5, it says, "Like an apple tree among the forest is my lover among the men." This is the beloved talking. So she's noticing, okay, like Jesus is different. He's good. He's master. He's higher than all the other trees in the forest. He's good. Is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. She says, "Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love." I think this is a pretty good description of us just sitting and just indulging and taking in the peace and the goodness of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is good. We need to do this. Give us today our daily bread. This is good. And so I think that we do this in, and we wake up in the morning, we read our Bibles, or we pray, and we worship our King. Worship today was incredible. And I really loved indulging in the Lord's death and resurrection. I loved doing that. That is good. It makes me love him more. Let's read more. Chapter 2, skipping down to verse 10. Verse 10, "My lover spoke to me." So Shulamite woman saying, this is what my lover said. So us saying, this is what Jesus says to us. He says, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in all the land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." This is Jesus. He's saying, yes, 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 draw near to me in intimacy, read your Bible, pray. Pray, worship God, worship me. Yes, this is good. You're drawing near to me. I'm giving you knowledge. I'm giving you revelation. And now he's saying, come with me. Come with me. Come. Come spread the word of God with me. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And he's saying, please do this. And can we just notice for a second that he calls you beautiful twice in this passage? And if you read more of Solomon, he calls you beautiful even in your weakness. He loves you so much. He's calling you beautiful, and he loves you, and he wants you to come, because he knows that when you come, you will be with him more and more and more, because just running and drawing near to him in intimacy is just the first part of being near and close to God. We can even look at at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There's the intimacy. We're worshiping God, hallowed be your name. Here's some more praying. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Read, give us revelation, Father. "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So guys, we're drawing near to the Lord in intimacy, but we have to run with him in ministry, and his ministry. Because the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's on you. You got to do that. That demands activity, okay? active waiting. Let's see what active waiting is. When I think of active waiting, I think of a faithful son, and I think of when I was a little boy, and my dad would leave for work at 8:30 in the morning, and I would be up, and I'd be like, "Dad, when are you going to be home? When are you going to be home, Dad?" And he'd be like, "Drew, I'll be home later tonight, but will you clean the garage?" I'm like, yeah. "When are you going to be home?" "Yeah, I'll be home later tonight. Make sure that garage is clean when I get home, okay?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah, got it. Clean garage. Okay, be home later tonight. All right, see ya." And so if I were Benton, I would sit at the front door and cry and just wait for my dad to get home. And maybe I would even call him. I'd say, "Dad, when are you going to be home?" He'd say, "Well, Drew, did you clean the garage?" I'd say, "Well, no, Dad, I didn't clean the garage, but when are you coming home? I love you." And he's thinking, "If you love me, why don't you clean the garage? Please me." And so it's the same way with Jesus, I believe. I believe that so many times we pray and we pray, and the Lord's saying, "Go and make disciples. Please do what I told you to do. Why aren't you doing this?" The Great Commission, you know it. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," why is that therefore? Let's look. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's the master. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So he's saying, listen to what I have to say because I am master over everything. And he's saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That involves intimacy. You got to know what the Lord commands of you by reading in your word every morning. So intimacy is important, and so is running in ministry, okay? "Everything I have commanded you, and surely I will always be with you to the very end of the age." That's the best part. What's so good about that is we don't have to do it. He's going to do it for you. He will work in you. He will speak through you. Guys, if we truly long for the Lord's coming, we would do this. We would pray. We would get up in the morning. We would pray to God. We would say, "Lord, would you come? Would you come, please?" But you know what else we would pray? As we pray, "Jesus, give me the power. Would you speak through me? Would you give me the perseverance to go and talk to that person about you, to go and tell my lost friend that I've been friends with for 3 years, I haven't mentioned Jesus once." The cashier at Walmart saying, "Do you love Jesus? Do you know him? Because let me tell you, he's changed my life, and he's good." And you can see that too, it's for everyone, it's for you. I mean, seriously, why don't we do this, guys? What's so good about this is being active and sharing our faith and running with the Lord in ministry. It's not just for his glory. It's for our joy. It's for our joy. And so what are you? What have you been doing? Have you been actively waiting on the Lord? Because we do. We get so comfortable in our rooms and in our houses in Tyler, Texas, wherever it is that we are. We get so comfortable and we just want to sit and we want to pray. And you guys, if you even look again in Song of Songs, if you skip down to verse 14 in chapter 2, he says, the Lord Jesus says, he says, "Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." This is what Jesus is saying to you. After he says, come with me. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. I love you. And the beloved responds. She says, my lover is mine and I am his. She says, he browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. He seeks you. He pursues you. And you know what she says next? She says, turn, my lover. Be like the gazelle or the young stag on the rugged mountains. She's saying, thank you, Jesus. You have pursued me and you love me and I know that you see me as beautiful. But turn. I don't want to go with you. I'm not ready. I want to sit. I'm comfortable here under this apple tree. You strengthen me with raisins and apples, and I'm just going to sit right here, and you go. You go and be like the young stag, the gazelle, and you're good at it, so you go along the rugged mountains. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rugged, but you go. That's you, Jesus. Like, that's your job, right? You go, and you do that. You do your thing. I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to pray to you. I'm going to be comfortable, and that'll be great. Because I was made only to pray, right? No. You're made to be active, both in prayer and going. You guys, I don't want to be like the dog that just sits in my room and prays to God. I don't want to be like the Shulamite woman in chapter 2 and say, Lord, you just go. You do your thing. I want to stay here. I don't want to do that. I want to be like the faithful Son of God. And I want to pray that the Lord would move in me actively and that he would give me the strength and the power to go and deliver the gospel to the nations. Because that's what he's told me to do. I mean, I want it to be so sweet on my tongue. I want to be able to go places and just not even be able to shut up about Jesus. I mean, I want to be able to sit in Starbucks and not even be able to read my Bible because I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these people and I'm thinking they're lost. Do they know Jesus? Do they see him? And if nobody tells them about them, then they're not going to know. And that's your job. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he commands you to do it. I mean, I want it to be so passionate on my soul that I'm like, oh, Jesus, please, please. Oh, my gosh, can you please just come to Christ? He's good. I promise he's good. Philemon 1:6. Philemon has one chapter, so verse 6. I love this verse. And I've seen this verse come alive in my life. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I mean, I don't know what version you have, but my version says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith in who you are in Christ. Guys, I've seen this. This is a true promise. All the promises in here are true. And he loves you and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to draw near to him in intimacy, but then run with him in ministry. But when you run with him in ministry, you're drawing even more near to him in intimacy. Okay? And so if we have a full understanding of everything we are in Christ Jesus, if we're actively waiting on the Lord and actively sharing the gospel, it is for our joy. Because in sharing our faith, we begin to see more and more of who we are in Christ Jesus. And as we see more and more of who we are in Christ Jesus, we see who we really are. Okay? And we see that who and what we were created for. We were created for him, and we were created to tell everybody about him. So as you see who you are, you guys, that brings forth joy when you know that what you are and what you're created for, that brings forth so much joy. And you know what else it does? It gives you more confidence. You realize, I don't have to do this. Jesus' power is going to give me the power to preach the gospel to all these people in the nations. I'm going to be a faithful son of God only because he's showing me more and more of who I am so I can go. And you know what that does? This next person says, yeah, I want to be like him. He's got it together. He's being active. He's not just sitting in his room praying, but he's going and he's sharing the gospel. And I want to follow him as he follows Christ. And the next guy says, yeah, I want to be like him. I want to pursue Christ. And I want to be active in sharing my faith. I want to be like him. And look, there he is. All of a sudden, the King of Glory is here. He's here and he's King. He's in glory. And I want to say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You're so good. Because we know that he's not going to come back until all the nations hear. And we're going to fall to our knees and we're going to say, Jesus, you're holy and you're good. And I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me who I am in Christ. Lord, we pray for you to come back. Oh, my God, my Jesus, we pray that you would come back. Come in glory. Come as the conquering king that you are and redeem this world. Come, Jesus. Lord, I don't even want to pray for passion. I don't want to pray for feelings because I know that that's not what it's about. I know that only the feelings that you give me, the tears that you would give me, would only be a blessing that I would be able to feel them. But Lord, I don't want to pray for feelings. I want to pray that you would give us power. I want to pray that you would give us the perseverance and the words to speak the truth as our master. And so, Lord, would you come? Lord, we pray. We pray that you would give us the power to share your gospel, Lord. And thank you so much, Lord. We praise you and we thank you so much that you allow us to experience the joy that you find in yourself. We thank you so much that we will be with you in glory one day. Lord, when you come back, we want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for doing what I told you to do when I left. Thank you for sharing of the good news. The good news, I suffered on the cross for that news. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. I pray that we would show our love for you in our action and sharing Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys keep standing. At a closing text, 2 Timothy 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to share the gospel with you one more time. Verse 11, it says, the saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Praise God. Verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. You know, it's so interesting, and I want to just speak on what was so commendable about what Drew said. What happened was so unusual. I don't know if you've caught on to it, but you know, there's just a wave going on right now in the church that I'm a little bit scared of what it might turn into. I'm old enough to straddle two different epochs of time in Christianity. One was very legalistic, where I came from. Now we're swinging to the other pendulum. It's like we always do that. We always go to the other extreme, and this is almost one of licentiousness and antinomian. It's a belief in the gospel and the grace, but it's not the gospel at all because it denies works of obedience. The scriptures are filled with what you heard was so interesting how he put those two together, and I just want to commend him for that. There was just a fire in me about this. Justification based on one man's obedience is not a justification for any man's disobedience. Okay? Our Lord demands our obedience. And if we deny him, he will deny us. Okay? We've said this before different times, but most of us who've grown up in the Bible Belt would never deny Christ with our lips. But listen, if a man deifies Christ with their lips but deny him with their works, they are really deifying Satan with their works and denying him with their lips. And Satan's okay that you don't praise him with your lips. But by your works, you deny him and you deify Satan. Listen, this is just a warning. You've come to Living Acts. You've heard the gospel so many times. God's love and his grace and his mercy. We've just labored to show you that. But don't neglect good works. Don't neglect obedience because God demands it of us. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But listen, he's not done. Verse 13, but if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. If you are in Christ and you're going to go out there and you're going to be obedient, you're going to do what your master said, guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to see how selfish you are. Your sin is going to boil to the surface. But in your pursuit of obedience and following God, just know that even when you're faithless, he remains faithful. He will not deny you because he cannot deny himself. Just don't deny him. You hear it? I just want us all to pray as we go. Thank you, God, for the word that came this morning. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your love that is shown to us in the gospel. But there is also an obedience to the gospel. There is an obedience that we need to adhere to. There's obedience of faith that we would like to see brought about. God, I pray that our hearts are to obey. Some of us are going to crawl toward it. Others are going to run and stumble. Others are going to do good for a while and then stumble. There's going to be all different levels of it out there. But I just pray the heart of obedience is there, but not just the heart, the hand. We are actually doing works that are commanded us. You told us, if you love me, you will obey me. And so, God, I pray that your people will go forward today with that charge. May we not deny you. But when we stumble, when we fall, we look to your faithfulness, to your perfect righteousness, not our own. That's not why we obey. We don't obey to become that. We have that in you. And God, just help us to go forward now in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh, and change our world for you, that the world may know you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Acts Church.